Lebanon is starting to relax its medical emergency measures after nearly 2 months under lockdown. Lebanon has just 725 reported cases, but the U.S. State Department told Americans in Lebanon and in other countries to come home. Even so, some Americans decided to ride things out right where they are. Rebecca Collard has our story from Beirut.
When Cecilia Bluer opens up the window of her Beirut apartment these days and hears the birds chirping outside, the 64-year-old native of New York is reminded why she didn't jump on the first flight home as soon as the pandemic started.
Well, I wasn't going to go back because I was so afraid of what was waiting at the other end, so I decided to stay here.
What was waiting in New York? Overcrowded hospitals, makeshift morgues, and shortages of personal protective equipment. Bluer says Lebanon, despite months of protests, a divided government, and a looming financial collapse, is actually handling the crisis better than the U.S. Bluer arrived in Lebanon in January to spend a few months studying Arabic and volunteering.
They understand that God throws curveballs. They understand that. They whip themselves into shape very, very quickly. America just thinks it's an exception to everything, and it's not.
And Bluer is not alone. Other Americans are looking at the U.S. from abroad and saying, for now, they're safer sitting tight.
My name is Dr. Madeline Azar-Cavanna, and I am a U.S.-trained physician. I've worked with preparing hospitals for infectious disease outbreaks.
Cavanna just happened to be in Lebanon visiting her brother when the pandemic hit. She was supposed to fly back to Boston in March, but she says by then it was already clear.
Lebanon was on this much sooner than the U.S. Starting about the 8th, you started seeing the restaurants close down, bars closing down, and eventually they took the whole situation much more seriously than I was hearing that was happening in the U.S. And so our curve flattened sooner than the U.S.
Lebanon declared a state of medical emergency in mid-March. Technically, people are not supposed to leave the house unless it's absolutely necessary. Curfew begins around sunset and security forces come out to enforce it. Everyone in the supermarket is wearing masks and gloves, customers and employees alike. You have your temperature checked before you can enter. When the American University of Beirut canceled classes in early March, Max Tamer Mahoney returned to his native Boston. But then he came back to Beirut and he decided to stay.
It seemed like things were pretty rapidly going downhill in the U.S., so I decided that it would be most likely better for me to just ride it out here.
Better is probably an understatement. Massachusetts has around the same population as Lebanon, but the U.S. state has around 60,000 COVID-19 infections and more than 3,000 deaths. Well, Lebanon has had just over 700 cases and about 24 deaths. Mahoney says the anti-science tone of the Trump administration is a big part of the problem.
If even a country such as Lebanon, which has been obviously in some of the most dire straits that it's ever been in its history, a so-called global superpower such as the U.S. is struggling in comparison to protect its people, is really, really a shame.
Mahoney says at first his friends and family in the U.S. tried to convince him to come home. Now he says he's worried about them rather than the other way around.
My mother just told me that she was unable to find chicken and toilet paper in our local supermarket.
Dr. Sasha Fahmy went in the opposite direction, deciding to return to New York City from Beirut.
So I returned to the U.S. Out of a sense of moral obligation.
Fahmy is a physician and medical researcher.
Since coming back, I have been taking care of patients hospitalized with severe COVID-19 illness.
Fahmy says it's hard to say for sure what's safer, New York or Beirut. But she says certain populations are going to suffer more than others in both places.
For people who are in a position of privilege in Lebanon, then certainly it might be safer. But I think that that's true for people who are in a position of privilege everywhere.
Lebanon is hosting about 1.5 million refugees from Syria. Some live in informal camps, others in overcrowded urban neighborhoods. On top of that, nearly 50% of the population here lives under the poverty line.
The ability to social distance in and of itself is a privilege. It is impossible to enforce social distancing in a refugee camp.
If the virus spreads through that segment of the population, it will be a catastrophe, Fahmi says. So far, that scenario seems to have been averted. But Fahmi points out that Lebanon is testing at a much lower rate than the U.S., meaning the numbers could be deceiving. Still, the health system in Lebanon appears to be keeping up with the outbreak. Every day, the television in the lobby of Cecile Bluer's building in Beirut shows how the coronavirus is wreaking havoc in the U.S. Well, here, it's a different story.
There have been no shortages here of protective equipment. I mean, and any pharmacy has face masks and alcohol and, for heaven's sake, toilet paper. Everything is here. They're prepared.
And she says there's no good reason why the U.S. isn't prepared to. For the world, I'm Rebecca Collard in Beirut.